Welcome to Healing the Spirit, a space where we awaken our creativity, deepen our connections, and remember who we are through the lens of astrology, archetypes, and art making. I'm your host, Jonathan Coe. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Healing the Spirit. This month, I'm feeling called to share a contemplation of the astrology and the energies that I perceive for the month of September. And in this episode, I'm going to be focusing on the big picture view, the broad brushstrokes of the arc of the month, and the overarching themes that I pick up on. Along the way, I'll also be pointing out some of the specific flavors that are brought out from the nuances and the finer details of the transits. My hope and my intention with this contemplation is to provide you with an anchor, with something you can return to over and over again throughout the journey of the month, and ultimately to help you be with what life is presenting you by chewing on some of these reflections and asking yourselves the questions, and ultimately really giving yourself the permission to be exactly where you are and who you are. The main theme of the month is arriving at simplicity. Simplicity is something that a lot of us want and crave. I remember a few years ago, there was this whole giant movement around minimalism and essentialism and throwing everything away. and what's really interesting about having watched that movement, right, sprout up is the reality that arriving at simplicity is really challenging for a lot of us. It's a journey that requires a lot of skillfulness, a lot of trial and error, and a lot of honesty. The reason why a lot of us want simplicity, at least conceptually, is I think we recognize on a deeper level that simplicity can really allow us genuine, authentic creativity, and it gives us the ability to actually access that from out of us, right? When we think about genuine, authentic creativity, what I mean by that is not just the kind of creativity that comes from being prolific and doing whatever, right? Whatever idea kind of sparks us. I'm talking about the kind of creativity that ultimately feels aligned or feels expressive and inclusive of a deeper part of us that maybe we can look back at and we can say, I really see my essence out of that creative act that I was engaged in, right? A lot of us really want that, be that through explicitly making art or maybe just through the creativity of creating our lives, right? But getting to that point where we make space for that simplicity can feel scary. It can feel really challenging. When we allow ourselves to be with less, to be surrounded by less things, to do less, what often emerges is clarity. Clarity about who we are, clarity about what we're here to do, clarity about who's meant to come along with us on the journey. At the same time, arriving at simplicity asks us to be with the chaos, right? This is quite paradoxical. There's often a process of acknowledging or confronting where we're invested in the things that are not essential to us, where we're invested in everything that's not part of our truth in the moment, where we're invested in the baggages that we actually have no business carrying, right? And then we're often asked to begin the process of delayering, to begin shedding these baggages. And even though conceptually or cognitively, we may know that these baggages are not right for us, maybe these baggages come from our past experiences or from ideas we may be holding on to in order to keep ourselves safe, or they may be coming from ancestral sources, or they may be collective, or even, you know, extends beyond this lifetime into other lifetimes and other awarenesses that we may be holding in our system, right? Shedding them, peeling them away can hurt. it can feel scary. It can feel painful. It can show us where we need to be creating or weaving a better relationship with our fears. It can show us where we've been avoiding our own grief. It can show us the rage that we've been trying to repress. It can show us our lack of capacity to be with situations, to be with people, to be with places that we deem less than ideal at any given moment. So it's a process, right? And part of that process requires us to honor the time that it takes, the journey that it wants to take us, and the intelligence of the process itself. The process often has its own shape, has its own patterns. When I talk about the intelligence of the process, I'm talking about how the process has its own timeline. It has its own behaviors. It has its own needs and wants, just like we as intelligent creatures and systems have our own timelines and needs and wants, right? And so the process of arriving at simplicity often is not very simple, right? It requires us to surrender on some level, to be along for the ride without completely losing our sense of orientation and direction. So let's begin with discussing the astrology to place us in the larger context of how this theme might be coming alive for us. We begin the month of September 2024 with a new moon at 11 degrees Virgo. This new moon is ruled by Mercury, who has gone direct and will be at 23 degrees Leo. And then we end the month of September with the sun having gone into Libra, conjoining the south node at 6 degrees Libra, with Mercury approaching that conjunction at 5 degrees Libra. And all of them, meaning the sun, the south node, and Mercury, will be ruled by Venus in 7 degrees Scorpio. So these two bookends of the month can really tell us a lot about the energy that's contained in the month. The new moon in Virgo carries this analytical and practical quality with a dash of heart-centeredness. This transit plants an energetic seed for how we might be able to move forward with something we've been holding in our hearts, maybe a dream or an aspiration or a desire, something that we're hoping will ultimately find a practical solution. When I felt into this new moon, it feels hopeful to me while also deeply grounded. This is a great time to set intentions for practical goals that are connected with our heart's desire. It's about having the courage to say, this is what I wish for in my life and in my reality. This is what I want, while also keeping a clear mind and a realistic timeline. At the end of the month, we will experience the sun in Libra, conjoining with the south node. And the south node has to do with the process of releasing, of diminishing, of allowing that which we've been digesting to move out of the tract and into the void. The sun is also fallen in Libra, which means that the sun is in a place where it's being asked to be in conversation rather than to take up center stage. The sun is being asked to balance by holding its individual light, right, not diminishing its light, while also growing the capacity to listen and to honor the light of others, rather than basking in the experience of its own singular gravity and its own perspective. This can be a challenging astrology for taking charge, for leading, for accumulation, for accomplishing our goals with the kind of singular focus and utmost determination and vitality that often the sun wants to move within, right? This could be an incredible time, however, for noticing where are our stuck points and then doing what it takes to release anything that we've been holding on to that no longer works for us. Of course, we always have agency. This isn't to say that you need to be halting or scrapping all of your goals by the end of the month. Rather, the astrology is speaking to how we may begin the month, renewing our commitment, our devotion, and our love for our path. And then at the end of the month, we may be invited into a deep learning experience with regards to where are we holding ourselves back? Where might we need to make adjustments in order to accomplish or to move forward in the direction that we're hoping for? So often, we get discouraged and disconnected from our dreams and our heart's desires because we aim high and then we impose an unrealistic timeline onto that desire. I'm thinking specifically about how we define miracles in our overculture, right? We often define miracle as a miracle is a positive, often an impossibly positive outcome that came out of left field. And miracles usually are something that we completely did not expect, right? This is kind of a fantastical, fabulous definition of miracle, which is valid, but I've been struck and I've been in deep contemplation with a definition of miracle that is proposed by A Course in Miracles, which is that miracles are really shifts in our perceptions. A Course in Miracles also goes further and claims that the greatest miracle is the act of simply gaining awareness of love's presence. Let that sink in for a moment, that the greatest miracle is the act of simply gaining awareness of love's presence. What does that mean? How might we be able to make sense of that? Why is it miraculous to become aware of love's presence? Recently, one of my teachers, the intuitive Francesca McCartney, said something in a class that completely blew me away. She said something to the effect of, and I'm paraphrasing here, when you allow fear to stop you from moving forward, when you allow fear to stop you from exploring, you're losing sight of the reality that everything is a search for wisdom. Everything is a search for wisdom. This really stopped me in my track. In other words, we can say that fear is a misconception because fear keeps us trapped in a loop of the situation that we're essentially trying to get out of, right? Fear keeps us trapped in a world where there's right and wrong. In reality, everything is not to be judged through this lens of right or wrong. Everything we experience can be our teachers. Everything we experience can be a way for us to move more deeply into our truth, into our wisdom, into our deep selves. To me, this holds the key to why becoming aware of love's presence is a miracle. Because when we recognize that love is always present, or at least co-present, even when we are noticing fear coming up, that can really prevent us from being frozen by fear. In the movement through our fear into wisdom as resourced by love, we get to experience the transformation and the transmutation. The transformation and the transmutation only happen through allowing ourselves to be in the movement, even if it means we need to let go of our desires for certainty, right? Our desires to fully know where that movement will lead us. A reminder that came through for this coming month as an anchor, as a baseline, as kind of a home key to continue to return back to continue retuning our frequencies to, is that we always have access to our innate wholeness. When we remember that the whole entire spectrum of human experience is sacred, there's nothing to fix. You have nothing to prove. The fact that you are alive, the fact that you are in this world, the fact that you are part of this greater web of belonging, means that you belong. You have nothing to prove. With Virgo energy being present for both the sun and the moon throughout the month, and then also with Mercury re-entering Virgo on September 9th, we may be invited to try to figure it out. And it's important to remember that making improvements or fine-tuning our approach to our path can be something that we do for fun. It doesn't have to be so serious or so hard. It doesn't have to be something that's so painful all the time. Making tweaks can be fun. feedback can be exciting. We can interpret feedback from our reality as the reminder that we're not alone. When we receive feedback, whether that be positive or negative, whether the feedback we receive is what we expect or if it goes according to plan or not, that is evidence that reality is responding to us and that it can be a reminder that we are in this collaborative dance with reality, right? And when we are in a dance with reality, there's movement. And whenever there's movement, there's capacity and possibility for transformation and for transmutation. So here are some points that I'm offering as contemplations for the coming month. What if you allow yourself to love precisely where you're at? What if you allow yourself to love and admire the mess? What if you allow yourself to love and admire the pain, but also the successes, also the beauty, also the challenges, also the confusions, also the places where you pause and you don't really know what to do next? When we allow ourselves to love precisely where we're at, we're doing a couple things at once. We're essentially hitting two birds with the same stone. That's a bit of a violent metaphor, but let's just go with it. What we're doing is, first and foremost, we are bringing ourselves back to the present moment. We're bringing ourselves back to the body that we're currently living in. It's literally impossible for us to love where we're at if we don't know where we're at. We need to first remember that we're living in this body, we are currently experiencing the situation, and we are operating in this present moment. And just the act of doing that does an energetic recalibration of returning into the present, returning into presence, right? And the second thing we're doing is we're remembering that we're committed. Our soul, our spirit is committed to walking this specific human incarnation. It might be hard, but it's our path nonetheless. And so in doing both of those things, what can be incredible about the specific question of what if I allow myself to love precisely where I'm at is it gives us a little bit of energetic space so we can watch the process of how accepting where we're at might lead us into some other state, into the mystery. There is structure in allowing things to be chaotic. I'm going to say that one more time because that might be lost on some of us. There is structure in allowing chaos to be chaotic. Often, when we notice there's a chaotic situation or a chaotic person or a chaotic thing, we are conditioned, we're trained to jump into problem-fixing mode, right? We try to organize the chaos right away. What I'm proposing here is that giving ourselves space from the chaos, allowing ourselves to observe the chaos first and foremost, to recognize and acknowledge that there is chaos in front of us right now, is going to give us a little bit of distance, obviously, and it is also going to give us the choice to do what is in alignment for us at that moment. Because jumping straight into the eye of the hurricane may not be the most wise decision, right? It may not be the wisest or the smartest strategy. Sometimes when there's chaos in front of us, it's best to just let the chaos be. Let the messiness do its own thing. And perhaps for it to eventually start to transform into something else. Sometimes our interventions are not necessary. Some other times, taking a step back gives us a moment to resource ourselves, to pick what it is that we do or who it is that we are, that we can maybe contribute to the process of dancing with this chaos, right? It doesn't always mean that we have to stop or redirect or shift the chaos into a different state. Sometimes it simply means that we dance with that chaos. We let ourselves attune to the chaos, right? The truth is often very simple, but arriving at that simplicity of the truth can be a really complex process. Arriving at simplicity requires us to hold the nuance, and that nuance sometimes looks like just staring at the chaos and saying, I don't know what to do with this. So where might you be insisting that things must be complicated, that things has to be hard? Where are you gnawing at life, rigidly asking for a simple answer? Sometimes the confusion comes from trying to extract simple answers out of complicated situations and trying to find complexity in something that's actually really simple, right? So this is an invitation to step back and to figure out, is this a moment of orienting towards simplicity or allowing complexity? Or do I simply not know at this moment? This is inspired by the full moon in Pisces, which ushers us into eclipse season. The moon is going to be very close to Neptune in this particular full moon. And the phrase that came up for me is effusive drama here. There may be drama that actually results from not knowing the answers. There may be drama that comes from misunderstandings or from lack of information and lack of clarity, that we're not having access to the information that we need in order to move forward with clarity. I know that's a bit of a Neptunian way of phrasing that, but Neptune is not the co-presence of Neptune in this full moon is pointing to the possibility that this is not really the full moon where we need to be asking answers, right? Where we need to be honing in on a one-sentence summary of the way to get out of a particular situation we find ourselves in. This full moon may be more of an invitation to slow down, to be with some of the deeper things that are percolating underneath the surface, and to allow ourselves to sit with that complexity, to sit with that chaos. So here's something to consider. What if simplicity doesn't always require an answer or a solution or a conclusion? What if simplicity is a feeling? What if simplicity is the acceptance that I am in the body that I am? I am the spirit that I am. I am living the life that I am currently living. I am loving the things, the people, the places, the neuroses that I love. The Virgo brand of healing can often look like becoming aware of all the problems and then going on this massive journey to try to purify, to solve, to find the best answer. This is something that's very familiar to me as a Virgo rising. And this is where Virgo can get completely lost in the compulsion to attempt to fix things, to be perfect. Virgo energy can lose sight of how some things don't require our intervention to fix itself. That sometimes the best thing we can do is to stay out of it or to simply bear witness. There are times when friends in front of me are crying and wanting to be witnessed in that process of unraveling some of the emotional knots that they've been experiencing. And in my wiser moments, I recognize that it's not up to me to heal them. It's not up to me to offer the exact right phrase, the exact nugget of wisdom to help them feel better. That sometimes they will just feel better from crying. And I just have to sit there and say, oh, honey, I feel you. I see you. Sometimes it's really that simple. And I also want to bring our attention to Mars in Cancer. So Mars moves into Cancer in September, and this is an intense transit, because Mars is going to essentially dip in and out of Cancer until early next year. And Mars is fallen in Cancer. We can think of Mars as the warrior, and we can think of Cancer as the water that is ruled by the moon, right? It's always shifting in shape. It's never quite settled. And so Mars needing to move forward, needing to separate, is a little bit confused in Cancer. And Mars in Cancer is an incredible time, an incredible extended window of time to be releasing, acknowledging, befriending the emotional pain that resides within our bodies that we may not even always be aware of. The extraction and the exorcism of patterns that plague us often require us to feel really bad for a while. There's a process with Mars in Cancer of a huge detox from our own power trips. Whenever and wherever we've been holding on to stories about being a powerful person that isn't aligned with true care for ourselves, for other beings, for the world around us, is going to be moving through a huge reckoning with Mars in Cancer. We're going to be shown places where we no longer have the energy and the fight in us to continue to hold on to what isn't good for us. So the opportunity here, as Rumi would say, is to accept our wounds and to let bravery be our shield. The only way out is through. The only way out is through. And so some of the pain that may be coming up, it may be helpful to consider that they are part of our lived experience, that they are part of the full spectrum of humanity, that we're not doing anything wrong, but rather it's that process of the detox. And that detox may not feel great for some time, but that facing our pain and allowing our pain to move through us is also a search for wisdom. So throughout September, I invite you to touch back in with this contemplation, to allow it to speak to you through different perspectives and experiences you're going to be having, and ultimately to really assist you in finding your own answers and in formulating your own questions. If any of you would like one-on-one support, I offer sessions throughout September. In these sessions, we get to contemplate where you're at through conversations, through asking the deep questions, the challenging emotions, and with the help of your astrology chart or the divination archetypes that came through you or energy work. My aim is to help you remember your own access to flow and to becoming aware of what is true for you, which sometimes happen in the session or sometimes happens afterwards. And if you have been enjoying this podcast, or if you've been benefiting from this contemplation, if you find it resonant, I would love to enlist your help in getting the episode and the podcast out there. You may do so by leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. 3 or 4 sentences are more than enough and so, so deeply appreciated. They really help bump the podcast up the algorithm. And yeah, you can also leave some comments on YouTube or I don't know if you can do that on YouTube Music. I don't really have it, but if any of you have it, let me know. Or leave ratings on Spotify. Yeah, share it with your community, share it on Instagram or any other social media. It's so deeply appreciated and really, really helps in getting this free offering out there. All right, thank you so much. I hope you have a beautiful September, and I'm sending you so much love. And I hope you take care until next time that we meet again.